States against Wizawati. Laterzo.
It pleases the court. I'm Mark Laterzo. I'm here on behalf of Jim Wizawati to present two issues for the court's review after a jury trial in the United States District Court in which Mr. Wizawati was convicted of 65 counts. Two through 65 of those counts were dealt with health care fraud, and those are the issues that I'm raising relate to counts 2 through 65. The first issue that we have is during the course of the trial, Mr. Wizawati had indicated that he would be submitting a report prepared for the General Accounting Office in support of his defense. A motion in limine was filed and conditionally granted, indicating that that report was not relevant. Again, after Mr. Wizawati testified at the trial, we renewed our request to have that exhibit admitted into the trial. Again, that was denied. And what this report was and why it was relevant to the case, it was a report entitled Communications with Physicians Can Be Improved. And what that report from the General Accounting Office did was it analyzed Medicare carrier communications with physicians. And that report found that carriers were not doing such a good job providing accurate and reliable, complete information.
The defendant had never seen that or relied on it, though, had he?
Well, the argument that he would have relied on the GAO report, I didn't quite understand that because it was our contention.
So he had never read that. How could that have affected his actions?
Okay, he never read the GAO report, and that is true. But what the GAO report was being offered for was as an admission, basically a statement of the United States, the General Accounting Office, saying we have problems with the information we're giving to the people who are billing the Medicare program. He did indicate...
You could almost take judicial notice of that, couldn't you? There's a lot of administrative gobbledygook in these Medicare regulations.
Well, and that goes to our argument as to why this report was relevant. He did indicate, he testified at trial, and this report did indicate that where the problems existed was in the call-in centers, the websites, the bulletins, especially as it related to billing questions. And the indictment, counts 2 through 65, all alleged improper billing practices on the part of my client. And the government's testimony, to sum it up, was basically that these billing practices were unlawful. It should have been clear to my client that these billing practices were unlawful. And
did this report cover any of the particular billing practices at issue here?
It did not go into great detail as to specific billing practices.
No.
No, Your Honor.
I don't see why it's relevant.
Well, in general...
Suppose GAO brings out a report that says there are a lot of problems with NASA's practice in putting together space shuttles. Would that be relevant in a prosecution for defrauding NASA about a particular component in a particular space shuttle?
I don't know the answer to that, Your Honor.
The answer is surely no.
Well, the defense here was really that this was my ex-wife running the company.
Well,
was the one who was doing this, not me.
Well, in part, and true enough, that was my client's testimony that with respect to counts 2 through 21, those all dealt with the company that he had with his ex-wife. But the remaining counts, which were 22 through 65, dealt with his own company where he did acknowledge that he had to familiarize himself with the billing process. And he did testify that he did make call into the call-in centers and went to websites and did try and familiarize himself with the billing practices and did further testify that he did speak to these individuals at the call-in centers who told him that the practice that he was engaged in, especially as it related to one of the, what they call a knee corrective orthosis, was acceptable. Now, again, he was not a physician, and yes, this report did talk about physicians. But I think if you, he relied on physicians, he relied on their input to provide the products that he was providing to his patients. And in fact, the patients needed a physician prescription for the product. And in a sense, Mr. Wizawati is a healthcare provider who had to familiarize himself with his patients' needs. And I think that it would be fair to argue that had the jury had this information indicating that in terms of the reliability and accuracy of the answers given by the call-in centers, that they could reasonably extrapolate and infer that the information from the information in the GAO report, that it was not clear to my client that his billing practices were improper or and basically contrary to what the government witnesses testified to. And so it's our position that in denying him the admission of this exhibit, it did affect the outcome of the trial. Had the jury been armed with that information, again, the result on counts 2 through 65 could have been different. The second issue we raise is at the conclusion of the evidence, we requested the pattern jury instruction, reliance on public authority. During the course of the trial, Mr. Wizawati testified that he did call into these call-in centers, which Medicare operates through different carriers, and he was told by individuals at the call-in centers that he could bill in the manner in which he was billing. He testified that he relied on what the carrier told him, and he also testified that he'd been aware of this billing practice since he'd been in the industry, going back as far back as 1991. Therefore, his reliance on what these folks were telling him at the billing centers was reasonable. The instruction itself was a correct statement of the law. It was supported by his testimony. And again, had the jury been given this instruction that he reasonably relied on the advice of a carrier when he called in, and he relied on that to his detriment, the verdict in counts 2 through 65 very well could have been different. Thank you, and if you haven't, I'll reserve the rest of my time if necessary for rebuttal.
Thank you. Ms. Berkowitz.
May it please the Court. With respect to the Court's refusal to admit into evidence the GAO report, as this Court has correctly noted and observed, the defendant stated in his testimony that he never read or relied on any Medicare regs, rules, and in fact, it's stated at trial that the first time he actually read any of the Medicare regs and rules was on cross-examination. There was no abuse of discretion with respect to the Court's decision not to admit that particular piece of evidence. As also noted, this was a document that referred to physicians. It was offered after the defendant had left the stand. There was no opportunity to cross-examine him on that. For that reason, there is no abuse of discretion. With respect to the refused instruction, the government would also submit there's no prejudice there with the Court's refusal to give that particular instruction. In fact, the District Court had specifically stated there was insufficient evidence to warrant giving that instruction. They did give a good faith instruction that would have covered any issue that the defendant had even marginally raised with respect to this defense. Further, the government would note that the defendant asserted, again, that he'd never looked at anything. He'd never looked at any Medicare rules or regulations. He'd only contacted someone well after he'd been originally suspended and not until he began the operation of his second company. And he didn't even bother to take the date, the time, or the full name of the individual that supposedly provided him with this information. One of the requirements in obtaining a public authority instruction is that the reliance on this alleged public authority be reasonable. The government would submit that certainly there was no reasonable reliance by this defendant on any alleged public authority. Unless the Court has any other questions, the government would rely on its brief and ask that the verdict be affirmed.
Thank you, counsel. Anything further, Mr. Laterzo? Well, counsel, we thank you very much for your willingness to accept the appointment in this case and your assistance both to your client and the Court. Thank you. The case is taken under advisement.